Good morning.
Good morning.
See, it didn't rain, I promise.
It stopped.
Happy Father's Day to all the men in our congregation here today. If you're like me and have no children of your own, I was told yesterday evening at our Father's Day dinner that I'm the father to all of those folks. If that's the case, I need to speak to a few of you.
I'm going to bring them over to you.
You know what? I just thought of what I said. I better watch that up. Well, welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. It's good to see some of our northern visitors in for a short visit. Good to see you guys this morning. And it's just a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. We don't get to spend as much time in the house of the Lord as I feel that we should, but we're certainly here today to give thanks to our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers as well. So thank you all very much. If you've influenced others, the men in our church have influenced others in a godly way. So happy Father's Day to you. Just a quick reminder, vote Connect card. Be sure to fill out your Connect card and drop them in the offering plate this morning. And that's our attendance keeping and our messages to the office of the pastor. So be sure to drop those in the offering plate this morning. Our healing and communion service will be this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Come out and enjoy a time of fellowship and prayer. We pray specifically for the needs of our folks in the church individually, and we have Holy Communion together. So I would encourage you to come out and be a part of that as well. On June 30th, we're going up to Roger Dean Stadium, Faith and Family Night. It's not going to rain, I promise. Larry's not here today. Larry said, every time I go, it rains. I said, good, you're not going this year. So it was Larry's fault that it's rained every time. But we will be going. I have the tickets. Stick around after church. I actually have to run over to the office to get them. The tickets are $6 a piece, and we'll have a great time. I got 25 tickets, so if you're interested in going up, and there's testimonies of the players and different things there to just be a part of the faith family at Roger Dean Stadium. So if you'd like to be a part of that, see me after church as well. I can't believe it's camp time already. We've got some visitors here as well from North Carolina, some friends of the Hardens. Their girls as well, their children as well will be going to camp this year. How many do we have going to camp total? I forget. Four? Three? Four. Okay, we've got four going to camp this year. And they leave tomorrow. I can't believe it's here already. But they will have a great time, I'm sure. Have a special prayer for them later on in the service. There's a lot still going on in the life of your church. I'd encourage you to look at your bulletins and find out where you can become plugged in and join us here. Oh, VBS, the VBS coordinators. We do have our shopping cart up here. That's one of the missions that we do during VBS. If you can bring some food items and individually wrapped things, we bag up food for the homeless folks. Are we still going to give those to the sisters of the Great I Am, and they distribute them to their folks? And they're so grateful to get those every year. So definitely be a part of that. And if you don't, is there flyers in the bulletin this week? Take those flyers around and spread them around your communities, your neighborhoods, your neighbors, and encourage them to send their kids over for Vacation Bible School this year, July 17th, right? Okay, the volunteers are going to register as well. If you haven't served with us before, we'll have to go through the process of getting you signed up to be volunteers. But everyone needs to register, right? For the volunteers. Very good.
Ice cream
social is next.
Next Sunday.
Yes, we're having an ice cream social next Sunday. After church, so be sure to stick around for that next week as well. Let's worship. You ready? Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Amen. wish a happy Father's Day to all fathers out there. Can you please stand as you are able to come to the hall of worship? We call to the Lord.
And God hears our prayers.
We lift up our praise.
And God hears our songs.
We wait for the Lord.
And God answers our prayers.
Our opening hymn this morning will be My Hope is Built. It's hymn number 368, and it's in your hymnal, and also projected above.
Thank you.
Got a new best friend. Okay, Pat and Destiny are going to read a poem that they read yesterday, so we've got to stand up to do that. So listen intently to their poem this morning. Now make sure the mic's up near your face.
Hello, hello. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Let us praise these fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Let us praise those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become a good father.
Slow down a little bit if you would.
Let us praise those fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. Let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by the neglect and hostility of their children.
Let us praise those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Let us praise those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has offered healing.
Let us praise those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely chose the obligation of fatherhood and earned their stepchildren's love and respect. Let us praise those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their heart.
Let us praise those men who have no children, but cherish the next generation as if they were their own.
Let us praise those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides.
Let us praise those men who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children.
And let us praise those fathers who have died but live on in our memory, whose love continues to nurture us.
Thank you, Bill. I hope you're able to hear that. That was a beautiful poem expressing all the many aspects of fatherhood. I don't know if you heard everything or not, but thank you all for reading that for us today. It was beautiful last night as well. My father is not here anymore. We don't all have fathers in the same way together, do we? So fathers can come at us from many different avenues, right? But what is the one father that we all have in common? God. We all have an Abba Father, right? And that is God. So what I'm going to talk about for those of you that are going to stay in here today with us, how our own earthly fathers can be reflected through God, and how God's characteristics show us God through our own fathers. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, and many of us come to fathers in many different ways, we're just blessed to have men in our lives that are a father figure to us, right? 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 And I was reminded last night that I'm sort of a father around the church here, right? That's a big responsibility, isn't it? That's a big responsibility. So as we come together today, we're remembering our fathers and those in our lives that represent fathers to us, okay? Let's pray together, okay? Can you all pray? Can you put your hands together? Put your hands together. Let's pray. Can you put your prayer hands together? Put your prayer hands together. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for these beautiful young people. Father, today we're celebrating men in our lives that represent fathers to us. Whether or not it's a real father, our Father in heaven that has passed away, or wherever we find ourselves with our fatherly figures. Father, we love you. We know that you as our Abba Father, we're never orphaned, we're never left alone. We have God as our Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name, and we all say, Amen. Amen, right?
Sunday school?
Sunday school, Sunday school. All right, see you guys in a bit. Okay. Oh, come back. Come back for a minute. Thank you. We're going to have a special prayer for our campers that are going away to camp tomorrow. That's why I need an assistant. Cat's acting as my assistant this morning. Who all is going to camp? Stand up here. Stand up and down, up and down. Going to camp? Come on, if you're going to camp. Okay, let's pray for these folks. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these young people, Lord, that are going away to camp tomorrow. Father, we pray for safety for them, that they would become stronger in their faith, that their Holy Spirit would meet them in places they've never seen before. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon Warren Wallace Camp and all of those who will be gathering there tomorrow. Father, it's not just for fun. It's for growing their relationship with you. So I pray a blessing upon each one of these young people today. We love you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you can go. Now you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, don't run with those pencils. I don't know if they like scissors, but don't run with pencils. I wish I was going to camp tomorrow. Can I go to camp? Time in our service now, we'll get to go before the Lord in prayer. I do have a list here today. I know you've come with people in your hearts that have gone unspoken out loud today, but just know that this is the time that you bring in before the Lord. So here are these prayer requests this morning as well. We continue to pray for the family of Aubrey Miller, who passed away the week before last. Her service will be on June 30th. That's a Friday here at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, so hopefully you all can come and be a part of that as well. Mary, it's good to see you back in church. Mary's taken a fall up in New York, but she's back in Florida, and she's still undergoing some physical therapy and things. So let's continue to pray for Mary and continue to pray for you as you mourn to stand and taking care of all this business that has to be taken care of. So Mary, you're definitely in our prayer as well. Sally Chanel, Sally back there. Hi, Sally. Sally's in the narthex. She's going in for some testing. So we're just praying for good results for her as well this week. Alex Melconian, Alex. I don't know if Alex is here yet. We'll be going in for knee surgery in July. So we'll continue to lift Alex up. Robin and Ann, July 9th, after church, Robin's going to be traveling up to New Jersey, right? The hospital's in New Jersey. To start her round of testing for the hospital's in New York? Okay, she'll be going to the hospital in New York for testing to make sure everything's good for a liver transplant, so for her sister. So we're going to continue to pray for that as we have been. We lift up Christian Friend and Christopher today, the friends. Bringing them forward for prayer. Lynn Geddes as well, extensive dental surgery on Tuesday. Nicole Scott, a co-worker and friend of Whitney Chanel, who's pregnant. We're praying for her pregnancy and just for a healthy mom and baby as well. So Nicole Scott. Praying today for the healing of family relationships and guidance and healing in finances and healing in health. We continue to pray for Donna Foreman as well for reconciliation in her family and Sergeant Danny Chandler as well. Father and daughter relationship needs repair. Mary Hannah is thanking us for our prayers and praise God. Just continue to pray for Mary. Gary Simmons is going to be traveling down to the Keys today after church, right, Gary?
Yep.
And you know what he says? Give me strength to put up with everyone. Amen, brother. That's my prayer every morning when I go to church. Well, family dynamics, right? Okay, that's all we need to say about that. You're going to have a good time. He just wants to be a good influence on his family and be there and represent God to his family. So, Gary, we're praying for that for you as well. And Karen Ruben and Jonna are just continuing to praise God for the many blessings that you received this week. So, Karen, we continue to pray for you as well. Know there's many things we bring this morning, so let's go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for a God, for an Abba Father. Father that reaches out your arms to us and scoops us up like a little child. Scoops us up into the lap of love, the arms of hope as they surround us. Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would guide us, would give us comfort and peace in times of sorrow, would give us healing in times of brokenness. Father, that your Holy Spirit would help repair relationships. Father, family dynamics are a crazy and cruel thing sometimes. But Father, I pray today that we would always put God first, and that things of this world that bring us separation from family and loved ones would be something that could quickly be repaired and not let the damage linger for many, many years. Father, we love you. We know you love us. And I pray today for relationships, for families that struggle, for families that don't see eye to eye. So, Father, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would soften hearts and let your love shine through each one of us. So, Father, we love you. We know we're in a broken world that just seems out of control at times. Father, this past week's craziness with shootings and different things, Lord, it just seems every day the TV brings us more news of tragedy. Father, I pray for our government officials who were attacked on a baseball field. What other innocent place than that to come under fire from someone with hate in their heart? Father, I pray that your love would transform this world. Father, we heard enough with things that are out of our control, Father. I pray that things within our midst, within our grasp, could be made better for you. Father, we love you. We know that we come as broken people. We come those needing healing in whatever form that may be, either physical, spiritual, emotional, relational. So, Father, today as we pray for a darkened world, we pray that your light would shine through us. We give thanksgiving and praise for the men in our lives, Lord, that are fathers. We know, Lord, that we don't necessarily have to be related by blood to have mentors, to have people that love us and care for us and guide us and nurture us. And yes, Lord, even discipline us. Father, we love you. We know that you love us. And we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, a Father who sent his Son to die on a cross for us. Father, with this past week's annual conference, I pray that the United Methodist Church would seek ways in its own family to seek reconciliation, to seek unity, to seek love among the body. Father, just as any family relationships, the United Methodist Church, the body of Christians that gather under this name, and under the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior, let us find unity. Let us stay united in Christ. Father, I pray for the future of our church. Father, I love you, and I know you love us. And now, as a people of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those
arrive at the time of service that we can give a portion of what God has entrusted to us back to Him. But first I'd like to share a couple of verses of Scripture with you. I have the power of God's Holy Word here. And it's in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And the second verse is a verse that runs parallel with that, I believe. It's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I believe that there's sometimes things that hold us captive from really surrendering ourselves to Him. And I know Jesus came to set the captive free. And my prayer is that we can allow Jesus to help us surrender all that we are and all that we have to Him, so He can indeed bless us with His abundant life. Now that we are at this time of giving, the size of the harvest is bigger than we ever imagined. God needs each and every gift we have if we are to bring in the harvest and transform the world with healing, hope, and love. Come, let us join in the harvest by sharing our gifts. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our gifts?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You can sit if you know you're going to stand. This morning is coming from Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. I want you to keep an eye throughout the message and our scripture today as to how our Heavenly Father compares to our earthly fathers and the parallels between the two. So hear this scripture this morning, starting with verse 1 and verse 5, in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through His faithfulness, combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through Him. And we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God knows His love for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the gift of Your Son. Father, today as we celebrate fathers and the men in our lives who are as fathers, we pray that this word will strengthen and bless us. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This whole idea of love can sometimes be a tricky thing, can it? It's not too hard to struggle when we think about people that love us. As I tell my wife, what's not to love? Oh, I'm used to her being in the choir. It's a little different. Hey, Miss Marilyn, you're going to be Nancy this morning, okay? Because that's where Nancy sits, and she's tricked me because now she's back there. When Nancy says, oh, I love you, you're so great. Struggle with the fact that God loves us unconditionally. Like your dog. Your dog loves you unconditionally. I have seen poor dogs mistreated by their masters and still come to them seeking love. Have you seen that? Joins me this morning as a wretched person. Oh, you bunch of liars, a wretched people. I sometimes say, God, how in the world can you love me? What have I done to deserve your love? And He says, nothing. You've done nothing to deserve my love. I just love you unconditionally. God says, I've demonstrated my love to you in so many ways. My greatest demonstration of my love was upon a hill called Golgotha. Folks, God loves us. Where our earthly fathers may fall short, God's love for us carries us through. How many of you have been orphaned in your life? I Are there really orphans in the world? If God has embraced you and loved you, the Bible tells us that we are in the family of God. And being in the family of God, does that make you feel good? Sometimes it's the only thing that can make us feel good about ourselves, about others in our lives. So since it is Father's Day today, and I told the young people, and a couple of them are still in here, we're going to talk about five ways that God shows His love for us. Shows His love for us. And how we're going to correlate this with Father's Day is, let's see if our fathers have represented themselves to us in some of these ways. Not every way, but in some of these ways. The first way that God demonstrates His love for us is that He died for us. Now in that scripture you heard me say that it's kind of tough to die for someone that hates you or that causes you nothing but trouble. You know, we have heroes all around us. Every week in the newspapers and on TV, when it tells us stories of these crazy things that happen in workplaces, this week we had two. Well, the one at the ballpark, I guess that, I don't know if they were at work. But a nut came and started shooting at them. There are people that are willing to be heroes in those situations and circumstances, aren't there? Sometimes it's private citizens. The two convicts that murdered the prison guards, and I didn't see that story until this morning, but a person caught those two guys, probably preventing more death. People are willing to be heroes for people they don't even know. Do you think in that split second when you have to make a decision about being a hero, and maybe taking a bullet for someone that you don't even know, if you stop to say, I wonder what kind of person they are, would that change your mind? If they're not good people, would we be willing to risk our lives for them? Are we saying, in that moment, our heart is telling us that I will be a hero for that person, even if I don't know what kind of person they are? Am I willing to take the chance of my own death? You know what I think our human God nature inside of us does? There's something within us that says in that split second, there's got to be some good in that person. Something worth saving. Do you get that feeling? Why would we do some of the things we do if we thought it was just a totally terrible person? There's something I think innately within us that says there's got to be something there worth saving. Do you agree with that? There's good in everyone. I read it to you in Scripture. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Maybe for a good man someone would die. But when someone died for an evil person, one that even hated you, John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that one may lay down his life for his friends. I would lay down my life for my friends, but for a scoundrel, someone that's hurt me. Jesus Christ did that. He demonstrated His love for us. The concept of fathers, our earthly fathers, I believe our parents would give their lives to their children. Willingly, without thinking about it. Someone we dearly love. You know this scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are the promises that our Father has spread to us, has given to us in Scripture, in our hearts, being touched by the Holy Spirit. I pray you feel the Holy Spirit at work in your lives today. But I'll tell you, I see so many people that don't have that joy. I keep going back to Miss Aubrey Miller. The day before she passed away on Tuesday afternoon, I went to see her. We left Wednesday morning, and I just knew that she would not be alive when I came back on Sunday night. And she passed away Thursday, I believe it was, right? Thursday morning. When I went in to see her on Tuesday, they said, oh, she really hasn't been awake for a day or two now. She's not responding to anyone. So as I always do, I get down on their faces when I'm talking to folks at the end of their life. And they said, she's not responding to anyone. I said, I know. So in my big voice, so if this ever happens in you, in your case, and you're laying there at the end of your life, and you hear this big voice, hey, can you hear me? It'll be me. Because what I did is got down beside her bed in her face, and I said, Miss Audrey, it's Pastor Dave. In her weak state, showing no signs of real life, you know what she did? She had the biggest grin on her face. She grinned. She just sat there for a minute, laid there for a minute with the biggest grin on her face. Her son was there, and Marcia, her daughter-in-law, had come in the room. And I could tell they were sort of stunned that I got this reaction out of her. And I turned to them and said, see, she's still smiling. She still has a reason to smile. She was smiling. She made it about another day. I hope they had an opportunity. I hope they saw my example and got down in her face and said, Mom, we love you. And I know she would have had a smile for them. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit residing within a person. Those of you that knew her knew that she had the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Number two, we were adopted into God's family. That's the second thing God has demonstrated to us. It lets us know God loves us. We've been adopted. Exodus 22:24 says that God will shed his wrath upon those that are not of him. Strong words in Exodus tells us that if you're not in relationship with God, and later when Christ comes for us, that you belong to the family of Satan. Those are strong words. If you're not with God, you're against God. You belong to the family of Satan. That's harsh. Are we forever doomed to stay in that family? No, God loves us. He wants us in his family. He will adopt us. When we come to Christ, we are justified by grace. How many of you struggle with this grace word? This grace. What is grace? Receiving unmerited love that we don't deserve. None of us deserve God's love. Our earthly fathers, I pray, love their children. Will do whatever it is they need. But even fathers, earthly fathers, fall short, don't they?
because we're human beings and we're sinful. And times we fall short. I love what the first two verses in our scripture today said. We have been made righteous through His faithfulness, combined with our faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's a lot of people in the world that are not in peace. They're not peaceful people. There's evil, there's hatred, there's anger. All those things, you know what they do? They keep us from God. They keep us from God. That's a hard pill to swallow at times because there's sin. Rightful indignation, right? I have a right to be angry. Well, you have a right to be angry for a moment. Don't let it overwhelm your life. Don't let it come over you and strip you from your relationship with Christ. The third thing. He secures and protects us. This is a little sketchy for earthly fathers. Can earthly fathers always secure their children and protect them? Sometimes bad things happen to children, don't they? And we say, where were the parents? Parents aren't perfect, are they? The parents should try to demonstrate the love of God to their children. Pray for relationships this morning, because many of us have family difficulties. There's difficulties in my own family that I'm not proud of. And what even makes me feel like that hypocrite that I've been accused in church is full of hypocrites, and I'm standing before you this morning as a hypocrite. Because I tell you all to make nice with your families. Go seek reconciliation. Be there for one another. Heal those wounds. Do as I say, not as I do. I've got some problems with some family members. I hope they wake up soon and come to me begging for forgiveness. That's what I hope. I hope they wake up. I hope they realize that I'm right, they're wrong, and they need to fix this mess. I'm going to leave that right there. I pray someday I can be the bigger person. I'm a big guy, but I need to be bigger. I need to have love for my family that I'm upset with. I've got some brothers who are real knuckleheads. Let me tell you about them. I think they could do better, actually. They could do a lot better. But I'm doing just fine. We protect and love one another. The fourth thing, and I hope you felt this even today, God blesses us. Some of the prayer requests had praises in there, thanking God for the blessings of this day. We're blessed by God and by our relationship with God. That's all I can say about that. If you haven't experienced God's blessings, I pray that you would seek ways to recognize them because you are blessed. I came across this story in my reading this week. was a pastor teaching a group of men. I'm going to use men since it's Father's Day. He had a big poster board. In the middle of that poster board, he got a black marker and he went and put a black dot right in the middle of the poster board. And then he says, "What do you see?" Every one of them said, "A black dot." "What else do you see?" "There's nothing else there," they argued. "There's nothing there but a black dot." This is where it stunned me a little bit. He says, "Look at the board. Look at the poster board. What's there?" "All that is there is a black dot." So the pastor says, "Well, what about the board? You got this big piece of white paper there, and all you're focused on is that dot in the center. The black dot. Think of that poster board as your life. Something difficult in our lives, something that draws us away from our relationship with Christ, is that dot in the center of the board. They didn't even imagine that that whole board was all the blessings that God had showered down upon them. Why is it that we only focus on the dot? And not on the big picture and the blessings that God has poured out upon us. The fourth thing, God blesses us. And for that, I am grateful. The most important things we overlook, the little dot, garners all of our attention. Now this one was a tough one as well. God disciplines us. My mom overslept this morning, so I'm going to talk about her. I wasn't too afraid of my dad. The only thing my dad would do, which I think I told you that a couple of weeks ago, Kokotasa, Nancy's family said, Kokotasa, that thump on the head. I tell you what, though, my dad, see, I accused him of causing brain damage when I was a child. Because he could thump you on the head and he'd make a knot on your head. He'd call you a knot head, didn't he? But that hurt. Well, are you laughing over there? That's the hard heck of a wood, isn't it? Oh, knot heads, right? Knot heads. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be reprimanded because I'm good. I don't have any issues. This is the difficult part about another one of these difficult things about God. God reprimands His children. When we do wrong, don't we suffer a little bit for that? Now my mom, she would whoop you. I think I probably told you this story. I was pretty little and I wouldn't eat. So at the table, Dad says, "If you don't clean your plate, I'm going to whip you." Thinking that would spare any normal kid into eating, right? You know what I did? You heard this before? I said, "Okay, just go upstairs and get my whipping." My dad took me upstairs and whipped me, put me in the bed. He came down later. He just told me this a few years before he died, 2 or 3 years. But that was the worst thing he ever did in his life. Because most of the time you threaten a kid with a whipping, they're going to give in, right? He said, "That bullheaded little guy, he made me whip him." He said, "That's the worst thing I ever did for whipping him because he wouldn't eat. That's awful." But he told me he was going to whip me, so he didn't keep his word. Probably wasn't too severe, I don't remember, but I got a whipping. I called his bluff. We can't call God's bluff. Have you, like I, ever tried to threaten God? "God, you're going to do this. It's going to turn out bad for somebody." Yeah, for you. This can't turn out good. So the fifth thing is, God demonstrates His love for us by disciplining. Have you ever been whipped as a child and your parent says, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you? That's what happened to my dad. I said, see, I told you, don't whip me. But that was a cool thing as an adult. And he finally, I don't know why I waited so late in life to finally tell me that's the worst thing I ever did. I threatened you and you called my bluff. We can't call God's bluff. We've got to trust. So as a follower of God, we've got to expect when we're out of line to get a little discipline. To be brought back into the straight and narrow. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, meaning he punishes, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Came across this quote from Charles Stanley. He uses it to remind us of his great love. He uses adversity as a form of discipline. As much as we see pain used in discipline in human relationships, you would think that we would readily accept this principle in the context of our spiritual lives. Through the years, however, I have observed that this is a difficult concept for many people to accept. They cannot imagine a loving God inflicting pain on his children. In their mind, the concepts of love and pain seem so to be diametrically opposed. But in God's economy, the two go hand in hand, just as they do within human relations. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Do you think our punishment is being used to train us? If we can accept that, that might make punishment a little bit easier to swallow, huh? God's discipline is designed to make us like his son. The good son. I thought I was the good son. But there's a better son. There's a better son. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you. And so do I. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this message. Father, on this Father's Day, we know of a Father that loves us more than any earthly person could. We don't deserve it, if you pour out your grace upon each one of us. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for sending your Son. And we thank you for the discipline that gets us back on track. But, Father, we love you. We give you thanksgiving and praise for fathers today. But most of all, we're thankful for you, our Abba Father, our Heavenly Dad, and we're forever grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand for our closing hymn, Standing on the Promises.
Thank you.
Receive this benediction as we leave this place, Holy Father. We are grateful for the dads in our lives and for the men that have mentored us and guided us and shown us your love. Father, go with us now as we leave this place. Let us shine your light through us into the world. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.